that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I was thinking as I was studying the lesson, or for the message here this morning, I trusted none of us would, and especially for those of us that are of a mature age and adults and are Christians, I trust none of us would steal something intentionally. I'm sure all of us, if we were honest, we probably took something at some point in our life that was not ours in one form or another. I would hope that we've made amends to the best that we could for that, and things along that line. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about some of that, you know, when I said about taking something that is not yours intentionally, just there was two different things that happened to me in the recent years. And both of them were at stores, and both of them involved a shopping cart. One was at Wise Market a number of years ago, and I went out to the parking lot, I paid for everything, I went through the line, I paid for everything, and I went out to the car, and I have no idea how, and I don't remember what it was, but there was something in the bottom of the cart that I realized it had not got laid up there to get paid for. And you know, instantly, if I remember right, it was only something, it was $2 or $3, it was not much at all. And instantly my mind went to the thought, well, nobody will ever know, it ain't that big of a deal. But then the second thought flipped in my mind, yes, it is a big deal, this is not right. So I went back in, I just walked up and I said, told them what had happened, and they thanked me for being honest. But then just recently I was at Walmart and it happened again, and now with the self-checkout counters, it's almost easier to miss something if you're not careful. But as I again went out to the vehicle, and I think it was a couple bags of dog food, and there was something that went down in between the two bags of dog food, and I didn't even intention. I think it felt, most of the times if I have small items, if I stop there, I lay them up where the child seat would be, but apparently it fell down and rolled there because I didn't even remember putting anything like that in the bottom of the cart. But that time I just walked back into Walmart and went around and went back to the self-checkout again and paid for it and went back out the door. There was no questions asked, didn't really have to talk to anybody. But I was thinking about that, you know, why do things like that happen? Why do things like that come into our lives? And I guess one of the things that I thought about was to build integrity, to build honesty. And the quote comes to my mind many times that the thing that you do when nobody else would know defines who you are and your character. You know, both of those situations, I could have put it in the vehicle, I could have left, and nobody else would have ever known about it. But that is what defines our integrity and our character. Earlier this week, there's a place of business, many of you would know, Martin Zag there in Panola. We had got a couple things, and I realized that there was a couple items that had not got charged on the bill, and I had asked, on the one bill, Alex had actually picked it up, and I'd ask about it the next time I was there, and he said, well, no, there's nothing here on the account. And I said, well, I'm sure he got these couple other items. And so the earner, Larray, was there, but his son was the one that had taken care of it. Then later they figured it all out. And he said, you know, it's honest, he said it like this, honest customers is what keeps us in business. And so, yeah, you think of that as, and that, yeah, but it also builds integrity and also builds other things in our lives, as we'll look at in some other examples today. Part one we want to look at is the necessity of integrity. The command we have before us here this morning is a straightforward statement. There's not much to way to get around it. Thou shalt not steal. To put it plain and simply, to steal is to take something that does not belong to you. Stealing goes by many different names. In our society, you call it burglary, robbery, larceny, hijacking, shoplifting, embezzlement, extortion, racketing, pickpocketing, or purse snatching. It's all the same thing, and it's stealing. Taking something that is not yours, that is not rightfully yours. Proverbs 11, Verse 1 says a false balance, or the New King James Version says a dishonest scales is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. In other words, making something weigh more to try to get more out of it, or if you're buying, trying to make something weigh less, to try to get it for less money. I had seen an illustration. There was a guy that, I don't have it written down, but there was a guy that had painted a picture of a meat sales counter. And the lady had told him how much meat they had wanted, and he had put out the meat and laid it on the scales, and both of them were smiling and just acting like everything was all just hunky-dory. But they said that what the picture on the painting revealed was the man who was selling the meat had his thumb on the scales, and the lady that was buying the meat had her thumb under the scales on the other side, and both of them was trying to be dishonest about it. But anyway, just thinking about the necessity of honesty and integrity and not stealing, a just weight in everything that we do. I want to look at our text here a little bit this morning, thinking about the Ten Commandments as a whole, and what we, just for briefly here, but also the commandment of thou shalt not steal. Verse 24 there tells us to put on the new man, which is after God. We're putting on the new man, the Christian life. We are a new person. We are a new man or a new woman. We are a new person. We become a different person with different goals and different attitudes. But then we see, as a Christian, there at the end of verse 24, why we do that is because we are created in righteousness and true holiness. We are now owned by somebody different. We have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. We have given our life to Him. So that gives us new goals and a new purpose in life. Because of that, we are now created in His righteousness, and we are to follow after true holiness. And that is one of the things that as Christians would help us to want to be honest in our dealings and not to be dishonest or steal in any way. One of the ways that the enemy tries to steal, tries to tempt us to steal, is to sow seeds of discontentments in our minds. Why does somebody want to steal in the first place? Most of the time, once in a great while, you hear of stories, and then my heart goes out to these type of people. I've heard of little boys or little children that stole something, some food, because they were hungry. And yes, that's not right to steal, but they had a need. They had something, that a legitimate need. That does not make stealing right. I'm not trying to condone that in any way, shape, or form. But many times, what causes or tempts us to steal is because of discontentment. We're not content with what we have. We want something more. We want something that somebody else has, so we want to take it because maybe we can't buy it, or maybe we don't have the money that we need. Many times the temptation comes from discontentment and coveting what others have, their possessions, their jobs, or responsibilities. I've heard just recently of a situation where there was a construction crew, and there was a foreman of the crew, and there was a guy that just didn't matter. They had several different crews that worked in this construction company, and it didn't matter where this man was, on what crew this man was placed. He started causing trouble, and he started causing issues. He just was always just turning the knife the wrong way, so to speak. It basically boiled down to he was just struggling to come under the foreman, regardless of what crew he was on. He wanted the responsibility of the foreman, and he was causing issues and causing problems wherever he was at. We need to be grateful for what we have. Don't dwell on what you don't have, but rather be thankful for what you do have. Gratitude will give you a different perspective about life. If you dwell on what you have and are thankful for that, it will give you a different perspective about life. The world and the unbeliever live with a perspective fueled by greed and lust and pride. They want what is not theirs. Somebody said it like this: gratitude to God leads us to the right perspective in life. If we are living with a worldly perspective, a perspective fueled by greed and lust and pride, you'll do anything to satisfy those worldly desires. Greed will lead you to steal money to dissatisfy those greedy desires. Lust will lead you to steal somebody else's spouse to satisfy your lustful cravings. Pride will lead you to steal somebody else's place of prominence so you will look better and satisfy your prideful longings. The command is comprehensive. We're not to steal anything from anyone at any time for any reason. End of quote. So as we think of integrity, what are we doing to build our integrity? What are we doing to maintain our integrity? Are we doing things in an honest and right and good way? Are we building one another up and helping to carry one another along? Part two we want to look at is the importance of honesty. Verse 28 there in our text, again, very straight and to the point. Let him that stole steal no more. Then it tells us what we are to do. We rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I thought this was good thinking of, as I was reading this verse, you know. It don't say there, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have all that he needs and get more. No, it says that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, that As we do our work honestly, as we labor for the kingdom, whatever we are doing, we are to give in any way we can. But we want to think just a little bit about that, that him that stole, steal no more. I think I've used this for it as an example before one time, but I'll never forget this as long as I have a good memory, and only the Lord knows how long that'll be, but One time I was in at the bank and I was opening up another account, so I was there for quite a while, and I got there soon after the bank had opened, but there was a lady that came in, just was getting to work, and she rushed in and went in around behind the counter and clocked in. Then she went back to wherever they put away their coat. It was in the winter time, she had a coat on, she came back out, she didn't have her coat and her purse, other things. But it was at least 10 minutes till she came back out to the counter. And I thought about that, and I thought to myself, if she does that every day of the week for a whole 5 days a week, she basically stole an hour that week from the bank. And how many other ways is there ways to do that? Let him that stole steal no more. You know, today people are wanting to get something for nothing. They don't want to do any more than they have to do. There's a cheese plant here in Shippensburg, and we get whey from the cheese plant that we feed to the cattle, but they're getting more and more problems with their workers working in there. They have trouble with them not showing up. They have trouble when they do show up. They don't have want to put in much time. They don't want to work right. The guy that hauls their whey out gets so frustrated. He said their production's just all over the place, depending on which shift's there. He said some shifts can put out double what the next shift will. On Thanksgiving, they were going to shut down Wednesday at a half a day, but he said on Tuesday, about lunchtime, the shift just said, we're leaving, we're done. And he said, you know, 5 years ago, that would have never happened. He said half the people would have got fired, but he said, anymore today, the work ethic is getting horrible. So are we giving an honest day's work for an honest day's wages? The lottery and the gambling industry has went crazy in the last couple of years. And why is that? People are wanting something for nothing. You go to convenience stores, there's people lined up almost sometimes at to buy lottery tickets, or Wise Market in there has them. There's always somebody there buying them. And I just thought it was interesting. The other day, I had something, I say the other day, it was a week or two ago, I was there at Wise Market, went to the service counter to get some stamps or something, I forget what it was. A lady in front of me had bought a lottery, I don't know what they are, something gambling out of the machines, but she had won a little bit of money, so she went and cashed in, got, I think it was like $45, but the interesting thing was she bought $45 more tickets. I thought, well, how's that work? I guess she was hoping to get $145 out of them, but anyway. Thinking of an honest day's work and an honest day's waging, not doing things in an unhonest way. One time a man came to D.L. Moody and confessed that he had robbed a company of $1,500. He knew what he had done was wrong, and now he wanted to give his heart to the Lord, but this stood in his way. He knew he needed to make it right. He asked D.L. Moody what he should do. Mr. Moody asked him if he had any of the money left. The man told him, I have $950 of it left. The lost man said, should I take the $950 and invest it in a business and through the profits of that business pay the money back? Mr. Moody explained to him that he could not do that because the money was not his. It belonged to the company that he worked for, and his only recourse was to go to his boss and confess what he had done and give the balance of what he had stolen back to the company and promise to pay the rest back the best he could. As hard as it was to do, the man did just that. Not knowing what the kind of response he would get from his employer, he confessed with tears in his eyes. His employer not only said that he would forgive him, but that he would give him time to pay the balance back. Later, that same man was promoted to a high office in the company because of his trustworthiness. You know, that's one way to build integrity, is to learn to be trustworthy, learn to be honest, learn to be straightforward, and do things in an honest and godly way. Part three we want to look at is the attitude of giving. Are we robbing God in any way? Are we giving our best and our time and our talents to serve the Lord? God has given all of us gifts and abilities. Are we using them? Another way we can rob God is to not give of our tithe and our offerings. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. It's in the last chapter, or in the last book of the Old Testament. But it says, yeah, it starts out with a question, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But ye bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be any room left enough to receive it. But I thought about this as I was studying and reading over these verses and thinking about, are we robbing God in any way? But here he starts out with a question, asking them if they had robbed God. But yet he's telling them that you did. You're robbing me in tithes and offerings. And he's saying he will place a curse upon them because of that, or on the whole nation. But then he gives them tells them what's going to happen if they don't repent, but also tells them what will happen if they do repent and start doing what they should be doing. Verse 10, if you will bring all your tithes into the storehouse, in other words, bring your tithes and your offerings and give them to me, that there may be meat in my house, so that we may have what we need for the Lord's work. Then he says what he's going to do. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. I've often heard it said before that you can't outgive the Lord. And if you don't believe that, you need to try it sometime. It takes a step out on faith to do it, but you cannot outgive the Lord. There may be times you think that it's not going to work. But we need to remember that God expects things of that from us, and He will bless us for that if we are faithful to Him. A little story I was going to say about that, and I'll just slip my mind, so I guess we'll keep on going. I want to look at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10, actually just one verse there, and then a couple more verses, but 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10 talks a little bit more about some of this, and a stark warning for all of us. It says, no thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. At first look, it would look like just one of them thing has to do with the command we're looking at, that thou shalt not steal, nor thieves, but covetousness. Many times somebody that steals starts with covetousness. Revilers and extortioners have a lot to do with that. Extortion means to obtain or take something from a person by force or intimidation or undue or unlawful use of authority or power. So there again, that's part of stealing. And a reviler is for someone to criticize in an abusive or hostile way, or to spread negative info about someone else. So there again, you're stealing somebody's character, you're stealing somebody's integrity when you do those things. So there we see that if we're guilty of any of these things, if we're guilty of stealing from anybody in any way, whether it's God or others, it says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, that's a very good reminder for each one of us to remember. Another thing that goes along with the reviler is to speak to someone or about someone in an insulting manner. So again, what should we do in life? If we have an attitude of giving and thankfulness, it will help us to treat others with the right respect and in a godly way. Somebody said it like this: when we live with a constant heart of gratitude toward God, we are much less likely to give in to the temptation of to take something that is not ours. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you are, this is what I want us to catch and to hang on to. When you are in Christ Jesus, you have everything you need and every reason to be thankful. Think about that for a moment. When we are in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need, you need, and every reason you need to be thankful. Do others around us know that we are in Christ? Do others around us know that we are thankful? I know what else I wanted to say there about that. I was missing that one verse, and I knew that I had something else to bring out from that verse in 1 Corinthians 6:10. In Matthew 5:11, one of the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are, thinking again about that, those that revile or revilers or extortioners that extorted against you. It says, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. So there again, we can take heart when things like that do happen to us that is not unnoticed by God, that we will be blessed if we remain faithful and we remain in our integrity through that all. There in our text a little bit more, kind of the last couple verses brings out a little more thinking about not stealing or not taking something from someone that is not rightfully ours, whether it's their integrity, whether it's something, a personal thing. But verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to its hearers. So it really brings out the fact that we need to be careful what we say to others about others. We need to be careful if we are saying negative things about other people. But rather, we need to be saying things that are edifying. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to look at a couple more verses. If you want to turn with me, you can, here in closing, but in Romans 13, don't have a lot of comments, but it kind of brings a lot of things into perspective as we think about not stealing and not doing things that are dishonest, whether it's regardless of what it is. But Romans 13, I want to read 8 through 14. Says there, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So there, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, it will go a long ways. That kind of brings out that little quote we hear sometimes, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time is now at high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotous drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envying. This verse 14 is another one we need to take notice to and hang on to. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That was the verse that came to my mind, and maybe go to this passage of Scripture to start with. But I just thought there was so much packed in these verses as we think about not stealing, as we think about that verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbors. That would fall into that. We don't want to steal from anybody because we don't want to do ill to anybody else. But when we put on love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love everyone around us, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make their provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, there's so much more could be said here, but I think we all know what stealing is. I think we all know the consequences of stealing. I trust that as Christians, none of us, well, I would hope, would walk into a store and purposely steal something or go into a place of business after hours, however there would be, into their lot or whatever and steal a part. I would hope that we wouldn't even consider that. I'm not saying we would never have that tempting thought cross our minds, but I would hope we would dismiss it with as far as it could fly. But there's a lot of other ways that we can take things or rob others from their integrity and their honesty and many other things that we can do that goes in with this commandment. And I just trust that each one of us will be faithful in living in a loving and godly manner. Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.